makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee bring you Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, and Mortimer Snerd with Professor Irwin Corey, Joan Merrill, Ray Noble and his orchestra, yours truly, Jim Amici, and Charlie's special guest, Mr. Lawrence Melchior.
Well, Mr. Bergen?
Yes, Mortimer, yes.
I came to tell you, Mr. Bergen, that Charlie ain't here.
Oh, he's not here.
No, he's going to be late.
Oh, he's going to be late.
Yeah.
And why is he going to be late? I say, why is he going to be late?
Well, he told me to tell you, he told me to tell you. Oh, there I go again. See, he told me to tell you. I forgot what he told me to do. But he told me to be sure and tell you, though.
Yeah, well, that's very fine. Well, as long as you're here, Mortimer, I want you to meet a very famous man.
Well, how do you do, Mr. Bergen?
No. No, I want you to meet our guest tonight, the world's greatest opera tenor, Mr. Lawrence Melchior.
Hello, Edgar, and hello, Mortimer.
You, how do you do?
And this is Joan Merrill.
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Melker? It's good to see you. It's been ages since I've seen a real He-Man.
Well, what about me?
Sorry. How long since you've seen one?
Oh, no.
Mortimer, Mr. Melker opens at the Metropolitan next week. Are you going?
See, I was supposed to tell him.
Hmm? I say, are you going?
No, I just got here.
No, I don't mean that. I was saying Mr. Melchior sings Wagnerian roles.
Yep.
Yes, such as Parsifal and Tristan and Cutterdameron.
What's your language?
All right. Mortimer, what makes you so stupid?
Oh, I don't know. I guess I just got a knack for it.
Yeah, I get it.
Joan Merrill singing a special Ray Noble arrangement of A Little on the Lonely Side.
I'm a little on the lonely, a little on the lonely side. I keep thinking of you only and wishing you were by my side. You know, my dear, when you're not here, there's no one to romance with. So if I'm seen in someone else, it's just someone to dance with. Every letter that you send me, I read a dozen times or more. Any wonder that I love you more and more? Oh, how I miss your tender kiss and long to hold you tight. I'm a little on the lonely side tonight. Every letter that you send me, I read a dozen times or more. Any wonder that I love you more and more? Oh, how I miss your tender kiss and long to hold you tight. On the lonely side tonight.
Quiet, you little rascal, you. What did you say? Is you is or is you ain't my baby?
Charlie, what have you got there?
What?
Good heavens, it's a baby.
Yes, Mr. Bergen, I got a baby.
Oh, my. What in the world are you doing with a baby?
Well, I... If you must know, I'm a mother.
Oh, no. Oh, I see. Well, that's why we've seen so little of you lately.
Yes, Mr. Bergen. You see, I have responsibilities now.
You must have.
Yes. Yes, life has a new meaning for me now.
Well, I must say, you seem very happy over the little fellow.
Oh, yes. Hey, rascal. He's brought sunshine into my life.
Yes.
And, of course, a little dampness, too. Oh, he's such a care.
Yeah, but Charlie, you don't know anything about raising children.
Well, neither did you, Bergen. Yeah. And look how wonderful I turned out.
Yes, I know. Well, if I do say so myself, I did pretty well with you.
Yeah, you still do, brother. Yeah.
All right, now tell me, where did you get this baby?
Well, I just got him in time. I know that, the poor little fellow.
What do you mean?
Well, he's been so neglected. He needs a lot of bridge work.
Oh, don't be silly. They're not supposed to have teeth at that age.
No. Well, he's puny, though. His legs are so wobbly, he can't stand up.
Oh, he can?
No. I gotta feed him. I gotta feed him a lot of starch.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Oh, the worries we mothers have, I tell you. No one will ever know what we mothers go through. Oh, it's just awful.
Yeah. Oh, stop. Stop that mother stuff. It's silly. Mr. Bergen, a man who sneers at motherhood is just no good. Just no good.
All right. I'm sorry.
My, that baby cries a lot, doesn't he?
Yes. I figure he must have some great sorrow in his life.
Yeah. Isn't it too bad you can't understand what he wants?
Oh, I do.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yes. I understand everything the little fella says. What'd you say, honey? Yes. Sure. Yes, I know. Yes, you'll have it, all right.
What'd he say?
Hmm?
What'd he say?
Well, sort of personal.
Yeah.
Will you hand me those safety pins?
Oh, I see. Oh, you're not fooling me.
Say, Bergen, when he grows up, you won't mind if he wears some of your clothes, will you?
Oh, of course not.
Oh, I'm glad you don't mind. He's already wearing one of your handkerchiefs.
No, I... Well, Jemmy Jolly, who bathes the baby for you?
Oh, I bathe him.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm. I bathe him from top to... stem to... I dunk him.
Oh, you dunk him.
I say, look here, Charlie. Did I hear a baby crying, or am I crazy?
Well, the answer is yes, no matter how you look at it.
Well, anyhow, whose baby is it, old boy?
Well, he's mine.
No.
Yes. He's my youngest.
Well.
Isn't he a cute little tiger?
Yes. He tikes after you, doesn't he? Now,
you see, even the baby can't stand him that bad.
Yeah.
Well, now, Charlie, you may not believe this, old boy, but I was a baby once myself.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Boy or girl?
Well, you know, frankly, I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was a child, my parents, that includes my father and mother, of course.
Oh, I see, yes.
They were sure I grew up to be somebody.
Oh. Who?
I never did quite find out, old boy. It's all rather discouraging, as a matter of fact.
Yes, well,
Will you get out of here?
All right, now stop that. Now, Charlie, you're going to take that baby back right away.
Never.
You'll take him back.
Never, Bergen, never.
If you don't take him back, I'm going to take him back.
You wouldn't tear a baby from his mother's arms, would you? You can't.
Yes, I will. Oh, shut up. Oh, no.
Tell you, Bergen, if he goes, I goes. That's what I do.
Yeah. Oh, stop being so dramatic.
Well, I don't care.
Tell me, where did you get the baby?
Well, at the Stork Club.
No. Suppose you tell me the truth.
Well, that never occurs to me.
No, I know that.
Well, if you must know, he belongs at our hotel.
Oh, I see. You mean he lives there?
Yeah. No. He's just visiting his parents.
Oh, I see.
And I get 25 cents an hour for minding him.
You get 25 cents an hour?
Yeah.
Oh, well, say, that's easy money, isn't it?
You sure see. I don't do just 25 cents.
Well, say, Charlie, maybe we could work out something in our spare time.
You're not going to horn in on this racket, Bertie. No.
Joshua.
No, you don't.
Listen, Charlie, I could help.
No, you don't, Bertie.
Listen.
Sorry, bud. I'm busy. What's the matter? I gotta rinse out a few things. No.
With any good meal, the flavor of coffee is an important part of the picture. But when you come to the second cup or between meals, then coffee is on its own. When coffee is on its own, coffee for coffee's sake, Chase and Sanborn makes the occasion. Its extra-rich, super-abundant flavor made the second cup famous. And now that everybody buys coffee to get all the flavor they can, delicious Chase and Sanborn coffee wins new friends every day. In the past year, more people changed to Chase and Sanborn coffee than to any other kind on the market. That's the biggest swing in coffee history. The faster tempo, the more exacting demands of the past few years have brought all this home to new thousands. We've learned that flavor and satisfaction do not show on the scales. All coffee weighs the same, and the only place to measure coffee goodness is in your cup on the table. That's where Chase and Sanborn pays off with its lavish extra flavor. So take advantage of that and get Chase and Sanborn coffee.
We are fortunate indeed tonight to have persuaded Charlie's new tutor to again give us one of his very intellectual and interesting lectures. Here he is, the world's foremost authority, Professor Irwin Corey.
Good evening. After listening to Mr. Bergen's kind words of introduction, it occurred to me that it would be presumptuous of me in one short evening. However, some of the musicians have asked me, but not this week. Because last week, when I tried it out, I came out, I had to borrow. So tonight, I would like to straighten out Mr. Noble and his merry men concerning the origins of Le Jean's hop, or as we say, hop jazz. Now, many people believe that jazz began, but this is premature. It all began with a St. Louis woman who was a two-faced, a troublesome, with her diamond rings, and with a sometimes thing that got blue in the night. Sometimes. Now, unfortunately, I have with me an authentic replica of the Victor Bluebeard recording, which unfortunately, tonight. However, had I played this disc, you would have heard the boogie-woogie beat on the bass and the saxophones rising through the crescendo and going back to capistrano through diminishing fifths, diminishing thirds, diminishing quarters, dimes, nickels, pennies, ending with the brasses in the hock shop and the furniture on the sidewalk. And so, on to New York. Now, before I throw the platform open for questions, I should like very much to recapitulate a summarization of the characteristics of this phenomenon, of this most interesting musical form. Now, born in New Orleans, jazz went From New Orleans to Natchez. From Natchez to Mobile. Mobile to St. Joe. River raising. That's en route to Memphis. River raising. 200 boats wanted at Hickman. 200 boats wanted at Hickman. Hot rum bone needed at Paducah. Hot rum bone needed at Paducah. From as far west as Idaho. Down from the turkey bridges of the Alleghenies. The Mississippi runs to the Gulf. Down the Yellowstone. Down the Rock. The Malcolmovers and the Black Sheep. Down the Monongahela, the Kanawha, and the Mazovsky. Down the Petrillo. Down the Justacovers. Down the Sinatra. Along the Dinosaur. We fought a war. We fought a war and kept the west bank of the river free of Victor Herbert forever. But there were jukeboxes in it all. Jukeboxes on the upper river. And the music went round and round and came out here. But listen to that band jump. But dig that beat. Listen to that rhythm.
Listen to this telegram from Local 802. Corey, it says, we're going to send you. We're going to send you, brother. Out of this community. We're going to send you out of this world.
Bergen.
Yes, Charlie, where have you been?
Oh, I had an awful time getting the baby to sleep.
Oh, I see.
My goodness, who is that big hunk of man?
A truant officer? No, 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 Charlie. No. That's Lawrence Melchior.
A house detective?
No, 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 of course not, no. Doesn't he remind you of something we saw last fall?
Pike's Peak?
No, Charlie. No, certainly not.
What?
Well, I was thinking of when we went to the Metropolitan.
Oh, Melchior the singer.
That's right, that's who he is. And now remember, it isn't nice to make remarks about people's size or an appearance.
No. You know me. I know. All right.
Oh, Mr. Melchior.
Yes, Edgar?
Charlie has always admired you very much, and he'd like to meet you.
How do you do, Charlie?
Well, what do you say, Charlie?
Lift me up so I can see him.
No.
Well, I guess I am a big man, Charlie. I'm over 6 feet and weigh well over 200 pounds.
It's regular king-size Sinatra, isn't it?
Mr. Melchior, Charlie was just saying that he'd hoped you would sing.
I did not. Well, oh, yeah. Yeah, wouldn't that be nice if he would?
Well, of course I'll sing for you, Charlie.
Yeah?
Do you have any requests?
Well, just one, Mr. Melchior.
What is it?
Don't sing too loud. It might wake the baby.
All right, I won't. I'll sing a number I sang in my new MGM picture, Thrill of a Romance. It's called Lonely Night. And this is the first time it's been sung over the air.
wonderful.
See what you did now? You woke my baby. You and your big mouth.
I'm terribly sorry, Charlie.
Please, stop. Loretta, I want you to know that, you know, I have visited Denmark and Sweden, and I even talked the languages, as a matter of fact.
Do Svensk?
Ja, more for the pity, sir.
I guess it's from Nancy, the Earth, and I can have.
There they go. The melancholy Dane meets the slap happy Swede. All right.
Charlie, that's not a nice thing to say. Don't you know that the Scandinavians are a great race of people?
Yeah.
But of course, I personally believe that the Swedes have a little the edge over the rest of them.
Well, I always say the Danes are the greatest. Mm-hmm. And I am inclined to agree with myself.
I see.
That's nice of him, isn't it?
Well, I think you're wrong there.
Oh, you can't argue all you want. But I still admit I'm right.
I see, yes. Well, I'm not going to argue. As a matter of fact, I'll do anything to avoid an argument.
You'll even argue.
Yes, I will. Well, there's one thing. The Swedes at least gave the world safety matches.
What good are they? You can't get cigarettes.
Well, we won't split hairs. After all, we're all descendants from the Vikings.
What did they ever do?
Oh, they discovered America 500 years before Columbus.
They did? Why didn't they stay?
Because they couldn't get any rooms.
Oh, that must have been a wonderful experience to have been on that Viking ship that discovered America. What sturdy, courageous men they must have been to have sailed over uncharted seas through storms and wind. Four bells and everything is just yim dandy.
You got to sit through it, folks. Well, it makes him happy. Oh. Where are we, Navigator?
Well, just a minute, Captain. Ask he'll find out. Ask he'll shoot the sun.
My yingos, I missed it again.
I say, Captain, you mean you don't know where we are?
Well, the last reading was latitude 119, longitude 126, lingerie 198. I think we're somewhere in the West Indies.
Oh, no.
We've missed you, King Melchior. Where you been, okay?
I've been below shooting dice with Eric the Pink.
Eric the Pink? You mean Eric the Red?
He was red. But I fed him.
Hello, Papa.
Hello, Captain. This is my daughter, Princess Joan.
Oh, how do you do? And I will say a nicer piece of Danish pastry as I've ever seen.
Captain, when do we see the sea serpent?
Right after the cocktail hour.
Ahoy! Ahoy there!
Oh, look, there's a man on the steerboat side in a rowboat. Ahoy there!
Ahoy there! Ahoy and all that sort of rot, don't you know? I say, what are you blokes doing out here?
Oh, we're discovering America.
No, really. Is this your first trip over?
Yeah. Yeah, what are you doing out here in the ocean in a rowboat?
Well, you see, old boy, it's this way. I was punting on the Thames,
you see. Well, it looks like you punted out of bounds a little, didn't you?
Well, of course, really, I should be back for tiffin, but I cannot go until I shoot at least one fish.
What kind of fish can you get with a gun?
Flying fish, old boy.
Sex, yangles, and everything is still yim dandy.
It is. Suddenly, it's getting windy.
My goodness, there is, isn't there? My goodness, we're scooting right along now. There must either be the tailwind we have here or that the yet propulsion. My goodness me, the wind has carried away the yib sheet. Oh, my goodness, the wind has carried away the poop deck. My goodness, the wind is carrying everything away.
Yeah, carried your accent away, too. All right.
Oh, look. Look, land.
What?
Land.
Are you sure it's land?
Yes, there's a tree.
Oh, it must be Brooklyn.
All right. Eight bells, and we have just discovered America. And we will name this country America.
We'll go down in history.
All ashore that's going to go ashore.
And you'll go down in the ocean, too. I forgot to lower the gangplank.
Thank you.
There's pleasure ahead when you see the cups and saucers being set on the table. Make sure you get your share. Your coffee cup can be a symbol of enjoyment every time you see it. Just fill it with Chase and Sanborn coffee. All the flavor a cup will hold. For nearly 81 years, this richer blend has been making the second cup famous, gaining new friends, keeping faith with the old ones, creating coffee tradition. In the past year, more people changed to Chase and Sanborn than to any other coffee on the market. That's the biggest swing in coffee history, a swing to richer coffee. For a zippy, tangy wake-up cup first thing in the morning, for the deep-down, mellow richness that crowns your evening meal, have Chase and Sanborn coffee. And between times, whenever coffee is strictly on its own, there's no reason to take anything less. Get extra coffee goodness, greater coffee satisfaction. Ask your grocer for supremely delicious Chase and Sanborn coffee every time.
With the tempo of war increasing on all fronts, there's an urgent need for nurses. Here's an opportunity for all registered nurses, those who about to graduate and who qualify as registered nurses, and senior members of the Nurses Cadet Corps up to 45 years of age to enter the service with the rank of second lieutenant. 10,000 nurses are needed immediately. Please call at your nearest Red Cross chapter for full particulars.
Be with us again next week when Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Effie Clinker, Joan Merrill, Professor Irwin Corey, and Ray Noble and all of us will be on hand to greet Charlie's special guest, who also happens to be a relative of mine on my brother's side, Mr. Don Amici. This week, when you're buying coffee, think of us and ask for Chase and Sanborn coffee. Coffee made to serve in times like these. This is Jim Amici saying goodnight from New York's Radio City.
Ladies, sometimes you miss something awful good by not taking a chance and trying it. Maybe you've always used a certain spread, the most expensive kind. Maybe you think your family won't like margarine. But you just try Fleischmann's Blue Bonnet margarine. It's new, it's different, and it's simply delicious. Blue Bonnet gives you flavor, nutrition, economy, all three. All good margarines, of course, are rich in food energy and fortified with vitamin A. They're all inexpensive, take very few points. But the thing that makes Blue Bonnet so outstanding in its wonderful flavor, so tempting, delicate, country fresh, are for your own sake, at least try Blue Bonnet. See if your folks aren't enthusiastic about it. If your grocer hasn't got Blue Bonnet in yet, keep on asking. He'll have it soon, and you'll love it.
This is the National Broadcasting Company. KFI, Los Angeles.